The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
First of all, we're joined by Graeme Keighley, the Spain and Portugal correspondent for The Independent, to talk about the ongoing crisis in Valencia. Graeme, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What is the latest in terms of the known death toll, which is expected probably to rise?
At the moment, the death toll stands at 217 people. The search teams are today expected to go into underground car parks where hundreds, if not thousands, of cars are possibly parked. This may unveil, sadly, more victims. We don't know, obviously. The wider search is continuing in the Valencia area.
Now, we saw the visit of the King and Queen to the affected region. The nature of their welcome, or rather lack of welcome, I suppose, is hitting all the headlines. Can we understand why the King, who doesn't really have an executive role in government, was so targeted?
It's really pure anger amongst the people there who feel that, you know, 5 days after these devastating floods, there has been little, if any, help from the state. And he, the King, is the head of state, so he represents the Spanish government in a way, even though he has no power to make decisions, as you rightly say. You must understand that the Prime Minister and the regional Valencian leader were also on this visit. It's debatable whether the anger was directed specifically at the King or whether he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. But it seems that he was targeted with mud and missiles, and pictures have emerged of the Queen with mud all over herself. There was certainly some angry words had with the monarch.
Now, we have the three R's simultaneously: rescue, hopefully some people will be rescued, recovery of the dead, and now recrimination. And the recriminations are loud and long.
Yes, unfortunately they are. They are being directed at two main targets. First of all is the regional government. Local people say they weren't warned in time. The state's forecasters issued a red alert warning at 7:30 on the morning of Tuesday, but the regional government did not send out an alert to people's telephones until 8 p.m. at night. That's about 2 hours after the heaviest rainfall. This is when most people were traveling home from work. These warnings, by the way, tell you not to go out, not to make unnecessary journeys. Already people were stuck in traffic on their way home, and pictures have emerged of people stuck in, you know, busy roads, and you see a deluge coming down the road and they are stuck there in their cars.
I've seen pictures of people on the roof of their own car being swept away, and who knows what their fate was as the car is moving at some considerable speed with the driver on the roof.
Absolutely. And the other target is the national government. People are saying, look, 5 days on, we're still cleaning out our own houses desperately, trying to find brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, etc. Where is the army? Where are the police? All we see is police patrolling to try and stop the looters. That's all very well, but, you know, we can't manage this recovery effort ourselves. So there's huge frustration directed at the state themselves. The government have said they're pouring in more troops, thousands more troops. But you see, the trouble is getting these people in there is a very difficult logistical task, given the state of the roads and the fact that it's raining again today.
Now, the weather is, I suppose, or this particular bout of rainfall is utterly unprecedented in terms of a year's rainfall landing on the area in just 8 hours. So that kind of weather event is truly unprecedented. But this kind of flooding and these kind of rain warnings are pretty regular occurrences in the Valencia area, are they not?
They are. I spoke to a woman 2 days ago, and she said, we had a heavy rainfall back in September. The authorities sent out an alert to us. And so this time round, when we got the alert, we didn't really take much notice because we thought, well, it's just another flood, it'll pass. Unfortunately, this has proved a fateful error for many scores, if not hundreds of people. And the flooding is a regular occurrence, as you say.
Older people remember the flooding of 1957, but they claim that this was three times worse than that flooding, which was the worst probably for a long, long time.
Yes, indeed. I think perhaps to give a kind of wider context, this flooding is the worst in Europe since 1967, when over 500 people died in Portugal. We don't know how bad the death toll is going to be, obviously, at this stage, and we hope it doesn't reach that stage. But it's on that kind of scale.
Now, what is it about the geography of the place that makes preparing for these kind of routine flooding events, and this one being far more than routine, but that makes planning for them and mitigating them so difficult?
Well, actually, they have changed. They changed a few years ago the route of the river Tauria, which is the main route running down into the sea. And they were very pleased after this, despite the tragic events of this week, that they had done this, because if they hadn't, it would have meant that the entire city of Valencia would have been overwhelmed by the floods. So the river flows not through the city so much as outside the city. Otherwise, things could have been much worse. So there are some minor positives to be had.
So they've rerouted the river to protect much of the city, but at the same time, is there anything more that can be done, or are they at the mercy of nature?
No, what people are saying is, look, this is going to be much more a regular thing, obviously, because of climate change. And what has to be done is far more organized warning systems. And you have to not just send people warnings on their mobile phones, because think about it, elderly people may not even have mobile phones. You have to say, if we have a warning of heavy, heavy rainfall like this, and there were warnings from last weekend, the weekend before the floods, then you have to simply get people out of the area, the most vulnerable people, and not just send them warnings hoping that they'll do something about it themselves, because it's clearly not good enough.
So are we talking about maybe wartime like sirens going off if there is the threat of a major flooding event?
Well, that's what happened last night in Valencia. I watched on the television, and the police were going around sounding their alarms, basically because there was another warning, another red warning, and it basically they were saying to people, get to the higher floors of your buildings because we are expecting another deluge in about an hour. So yes, exactly like that, Pat. Mm-hmm. Wartime kind of warning, saying you must get out of the area, or if you cannot do that, get to higher ground.
One of the problems with the warning systems, and we have them here for storm warnings and rain warnings in Ireland, you've got the yellow, the orange and the red warnings. And the problem for the meteorological services is if the warning, which is based on the best statistical analysis they can do of what might happen, if it doesn't unfold, then it brings the whole warning system into disrepute. So what to do? You know, you have a red alert, and then there is no major disaster, and people say, so what?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is the problem. Someone in the affected area told me that he was very lucky, but all his neighbors' homes were destroyed. But at just about a mile away, there was just light rain because this heavy deluge was very particular. So if you're issuing these alerts to tens of thousands of people and then most of them are okay, what are they going to do next time?
Yeah.
It's a really difficult one. I'm not obviously equipped to answer that question, but it's got to be addressed because, you know, as the experts say, this is going to happen again.
Now, Graham, if one was to visit Valencia, if you could access Valencia at the moment, how much of the city that people may have visited is affected? Or are we talking about outlying areas?
You're talking about outlying areas, really. If you go into the Valencia city that many tourists will be used to, you will see a lot of people organizing themselves to try and help the relief effort, but they will not see the dramatic damage that you are watching on television. These are outlying areas to the south of the city, and some rural areas. You may be quite surprised that there's not more damage in the actual city itself.
And the question of rebuilding, how long will it take?
Well, I spoke to an economist and he said, look, this is not like a volcanic eruption. These homes will be cleared up. These cars will be lifted and repaired or written off. This is going to be weeks, if not months. But you're not going to have an area destroyed forever. And obviously, it's a terrible tragedy. No one's denying that. But you're probably looking at weeks or months, realistically.
And the question of insurance and insurability of property, will the state step in to help people out?
Yes, it seems they will. Claims are going to be in there. The number of claims will be in there, thousands, obviously, if people aren't doing that already. The regional government called for the national government to allow people to go on part-time work for a part-time and not to pay their mortgages for a short period of time because they can't work and the house is in disrepair. So things like that may be brought in, rather like the pandemic, to allow the region just to try and recover.
Now, the early warning that did not work, it came too late after much of the rain had begun to fall. But in terms of the response of the state, be it at local level, regional level, or at national level, I mean, why was the army and other forces not sent in earlier? Because we're talking about delays of maybe 4 days before that kind of help arrived?
Yes, it's important to understand that in Spain, this is a very devolved country where regions, the 17 regions, have a lot of power. And in this case, the people in charge of the recovery effort are the Valencian regional government, not the national government. And the national government, for political reasons, is keen not to step on toes. So therefore, you get the Prime Minister saying on Saturday, we will offer you any help you need, but Valencia will be in charge of the recovery. So Valencia, for political reasons, can dictate terms. So mad, perhaps, as it seems to the outside world, Madrid was at the beck and call of the authorities in Valencia for what they needed. And this is how it's going to be run for the foreseeable future.
And the blame game, of course, that nuance may be lost on the people who've suffered. One of my texters says, thankfully your guest mentioned it. I'm far from a monarchist, but Irish news bulletins across media organisations are failing to mention that the socialist Prime Minister of Spain was standing beside the King and Queen when the mud was thrown. So at whom it was aimed may be an open question.
Yes, I suspect it was aimed much more at Sanchez and also the Valencian leader than the monarch. But as I did say earlier, the king is the head of state and people are very, very angry. People haven't slept and people are desperate. So
we heard a report earlier on this station that some right-wing elements had taken advantage of the catastrophe for their own ends. In other words, they infiltrated ordinary people who may have been protesting, but these were the ones who decided to fire the mud and other projectiles.
Yes, that appears to be the case. There were right-wing organisations at this incident in Paiporta, there are a number of small right-wing groups which have campaigned against the socialist government since last year, and if not before, and they are allied to the far-right party Vox, which is the third biggest political party in Spain. However, these are much more, much smaller and more direct action groups, if you will.
And finally, Graeme, I should ask you, is there more to come? I mean, just because we've had one massive rain event doesn't mean there won't be another.
Well, up the coast in Catalonia, there is massive rains going on. The authorities, perhaps as a precautionary note, have sent alerts out to people on their telephones, places like Barcelona. This is in Tarragona, which is about an hour's drive down south from Barcelona, and in Barcelona city itself. So there's Spain's second biggest city basically coming to a standstill, at least for today.
And perhaps after what they've seen in Valencia, they will take more note of those early warnings, even if no catastrophe comes to pass. Graeme, thank you very much for joining us. That's Graeme Keighley, who's the Spain and Portugal correspondent for The Independent. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.